everything else that surrounds us just slide away and bring us right into your presence. And that's the purpose. And so we thank you for that. Because, Lord, that's what prepares our hearts to hear from you as you speak to us from your word. And that's where we are at this point this evening, Lord. We need to hear from you. We need for you to show us the things that you want us to see in these passages so that we can learn and not be caught off guard by anything that's taking place around us, not be surprised by the way things are happening and with every indication that they're not going to get better. So, Lord, as always, we're going to give you this evening. We're going to let you speak to us once again as only you can do. Be honored and glorified in everything that we do here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've been going through this now. We know that the coming attraction, of course, is the second coming of Christ. And what we've been looking at are some of the things that the scripture sort of lays out for us that come before that particular event takes place. And so we've been looking at those things here and talking about this and understanding this whole concept there of this quote-unquote the Gog invasion of the nation of Israel. And trying to understand it from really the way that the scripture talks about. So as we've been moving through this, I hope now that you understand that there are a couple of aspects go into this, which is nothing new. It began in the garden and will continue all the way through the book of Revelation, that there's a supernatural or a spiritual element to the things that are happening. And this was our purpose for the last couple of weeks of identifying who Gog is. Because Gog is a leader. And though the name may apply to a physical leader, surely the one that God is talking to is not a world leader, but someone within the spiritual realm. So we took our time to identify who he is, because that is directly who God is speaking to. But when we come to tonight now, now that I think that we at least have a good understanding of that, we need to see, as we've been talking about, that there is also the physical side. But when we talk about the physical side, from our perspective, we have this tendency, as pointed out before, a multitude of times actually, that we have the idea of looking at the world from the concept of nations. And we have said from the get-go that God does not do that. He's not interested in nations, he's interested in people. And so that's sort of the way we're going to progress as we move now forward in Ezekiel 38, having understood now who Gog is, and then, you know, seeing the spiritual side. And now we're going to look at these people groups that are involved in this. Now, this is not a new concept. This is precisely what Jesus taught us. Now, in the famous passage that we call the Olivet Discourse, you can find it in Mark 13, Luke 21 and 22, and Matthew 24 and 25. And this is where Jesus is explaining to Peter, James, and John the things that are going to occur because Israel has rejected him as their Messiah. That's what it's all about. And as he moves through this, through chapter 24, and we will spend some time on that in our Sunday morning study when we're there, so we're not going to belabor the point here this evening. But in chapter 24, in verse 6, and we always hear these words used, and of course, you can YouTube, or you can read, or you can whatever, everybody's opinion on this, and get all sorts of different things. And what you'll get from a Western mindset is typically when they see the word nation rises against nation, they say, well, it's nation against nation. But that's not what Jesus said. And the reason that we know that is because of the word that was translated. Now, it can be used as nations, but it has a much broader, much deeper meaning that. So here, we're just going to look at Jesus' words. Notice what he says here. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay? And so, but don't be troubled, for these things must needs come to pass. The things that are happening and we've seen in the last 2,000 years have to take place. That's what Jesus is telling us. Don't be surprised by this. But the end is not yet. Now notice verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and then there's an increase, you broaden it out, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and earthquakes in diverse, that is, all over the place, but all these things are the beginning of travail. Now the word travail here is labor pains. It literally means that. And labor pains, for anybody that's had them, I could only get close if I eat too much. Other than that, I don't understand. But I am told that, and know from experience, that as labor pains come on, they increase not only in intensity, but in rapidity. They start to come, they start to get bigger and bigger and create more of a problem, and then they start happening closer and closer together. So that's what Jesus is telling us, that the same way that labor pains come on, that's what's going to happen to the world. Now let's take a look at this. This word nation here that you see in the English twice, in the first part of verse 7 there, is the English translation of the Greek word ethnos. We get ethnic from it, okay? Now, we live in America, and America is made up of all sorts of ethnic groups, right? We have Asian Americans, African Americans, you know, you get the idea, Arab Americans, you know, fill in the blank. All of these, the Native Americans, and it just goes on and on. So we have this idea, but that's the word that is used here. But the word literally means people group or tribes. But what Jesus is telling us is that there are people groups or descendants from somebody in the past who will start to increase in their conflict with one another. This is really important to understand because, again, our tendency is to look at a map and start drawing lines on it. God does not concern himself with lines on a map. That's why when you look at the land that God promised to Abraham, you see all the different attempts to describe where it is. God doesn't use any lines. He said it's from this point to this point to that point to that point. That's it. There's no lines. This is what I gave you. And so this is the way that God views this. Now, what's happening here, and he will go on throughout the rest of this chapter, and it will become very clear as you move through chapter 24, that the entirety of the travail that's happening, the labor pains that are happening against the different ethnic groups or people groups, ultimately down to a tribe because we all came from somebody, that all of these things have a central focus. And I'm sure that it's news to you. The central focus of all of these things is none other than Jerusalem. It all starts there. It all ends there. And every nation that we looked at before, every empire, it is always, even though Jerusalem was really not a big concern to them, it was important for them to control that. Nothing has changed. And the reason is not because of the Jews, it's because of the God of the Jews. Because God said, I'm giving that to you, Abraham, and to your descendants. So this supernatural side has come along and is trying to stop the physical side, and Jerusalem has become the central focus of world, you know, of global problems throughout its history. This is nothing that was new. Now, when we look at the Old Testament and we look at a book like Zechariah, it's precisely what God said. Okay? Notice here, the burden of the word of Yehovah concerning Israel. Thus saith Yehovah, who stretched forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. In other words, the creator. Okay? So the one that created all things, notice man is in this because we're talking about the descendants of men. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples round about. I will do that. And the reason he's doing it is what we said, because the enemy cannot allow this, because this is where God said, of all of the places, not just on earth, but throughout the universe, there's one place that God said, that is mine, and it's Jerusalem. That's where he said, it's mine. It belongs to me, right? And my people are there. And the only reason that I haven't snuffed them out, this is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 or verse 12. I think it's verse 12. And the only reason that they still exist is because I promised Abraham that they would. Otherwise, they'd be toast. But the land is God's. It belongs to him. And that's why all of the nations have come against it from basically its inception. Because all of the world problems throughout history have always centered on this single place. It's just the way that it is. Every empire in the world has run back and forth through there, every single one of them. And it's just amazing when you start to look at this and you start to grab a hold of the significance of this. Even when God's people weren't there, it was still a central place and everybody was going for it. So the enemy's like, I can't, you know, he's got to keep it out of there. And that's why it's always, you know, it's always contested. And even now, despite all of the stuff that's going on over there, there's still people out there that want to divide it up. It's not going to happen. It's not. Because America's not going to make the decision. The Russians aren't going to make the decision. Islam's not going to make the decision. God will make that decision alone. And he said, it's mine. And if I, when I bring them back, it's never going to happen again. Okay? So notice, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling unto all the peoples that are round about it. Round about. And upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. So there's a point in time where Jerusalem is going to be in huge amounts of trouble. Now, this is Zechariah, so he's writing after the Babylonian captivity. Verse 3, and it shall come to pass in that day, we talked about this, that day is always talking about the day where God steps in and does what only he can do. So it's talking about a specific time. In that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, for all the peoples, all that burden themselves with it shall be sore wounded, and all the nations of the earth, not just the nations round about from the first, all of the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it. Okay? So clearly, Jerusalem has always been the focal point. It's always been, and the reason is because God's covenant. It's always about the covenant. Not the Abraham of the covenant, not Israel of the covenant, but because of the God of the covenant. So Jerusalem is this central area. Now, reason that's important is because, as we have already seen, when we looked at Ezekiel, starting in 38, what's happening? There are clearly, even though we haven't necessarily identified many of them, there are clearly nations who are conspiring together to come down upon where? Jerusalem. Imagine that. Okay, so here we go. Now, I know we've already read some of this, so we're not going to waste time on this verse, but we're going to move on here in just a few minutes. And the word of Yehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards Gog. We already know who that is now. So he's the ruler. He's this supernatural ruler of the land of Magog. Okay, the prince of Rush, Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against him. It's not against the land of Magog or Tubal. It's against Gog. Prophesy against him, okay? And say, thus saith the Lord Yehovah, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech and Tubal. So here we have these names that we've looked at in the past, and we saw Magog, okay? And we're going to see where that is, so I won't take time to do it right now. And then we see another place that's called Meshech, and then there's Tubal, okay? And prophesy against him. This, whoever Gog is over this land of Magog, but he's also the leader of Meshech Tubal, and prophesy against him, all right? And then you get down here again, it's repeated once again, as we saw, and you can see there's our Gog, there's our supernatural leader, okay? And he's the prince of Rosh. Now, some of your translations have correctly translated this, okay? Because what is literally being said here, he's the chief prince. In other words, he's the lead supernatural power behind what's going here, behind what's going on in the physical, okay? Because Rosh isn't the place. It means head, okay? Or first. So he's the first Nisi. He's the first prince. He's the one. And we identified in Daniel that Gabriel himself identified the supernatural powers behind Persia as being the prince of Persia. So the Rosh is not a place. Okay? So it literally should say the chief prince or the head or the leader prince that is behind this. okay? I'm against the Ogog prince of Rosh, okay? Meshech, there it is again, and Tubal. Now, we looked at this, but we're going to expand this. This is the sons of Noah. This is what we call the Table of Nations, okay? You get this from Genesis chapter 10, if you want to chase all of these down. But you can see there's Noah and then his three sons, Japheth, Ham, and then Shem, okay? We won't go through all of the names, okay? But understand that Japheth becomes the European peoples. We're going to take a look at this in more detail in just a minute, so we're not going to waste time now. Ham, his descendants, remember we're talking people groups, ethnos, will rise against ethnos, and Ham, his descendants, become what we call the African peoples. Shem is the father of the Sem, or Shemite, Semitic peoples, and these are all the descendants of Shem. So in the three descendants of Noah, you have all of the world represented right here in these 70 nations. Okay? That's just the way that it is. So what we're looking at first is the idea that Gog is the chief. He's the head spiritual ruler over the land of Magog. So the land of Magog means it's named after somebody, okay? Well, there he is. Notice that this is a grandson of Noah, okay? His name is Magog, okay? And then we talked about Meshech, and of course, another grandson. And those are the first two that are named, and then Tubal. So they're the three that are being... I don't want to say manipulated because I don't think that's fair. They're probably in union with the spiritual side of things, whether they know it or not. But notice that they are all three grandsons of Noah through Japheth. Okay? So that's who these guys are. Now, let's understand this idea of Magog. We don't have, again, there's so much to this, we just can't do it. This is the area that the descendants of Noah's grandson, Magog, where they settled. They settled in this region. Now, what you can't really tell from this, unless you're really good at geography, is that this is in the Caucasus region. It's just north and east of the Caucasus. We're going to see that in a minute. Magog, throughout history, was known, in fact, it's Josephus, one of the historian, that tells us that Magog and his descendants were called by the Greeks, the Scythians. Herodotus, there's a whole bunch of these guys who identify the descendants of these guys by being recognized by the people groups or the nations, right? But we now don't understand, it's not lines on a map. Notice there's no lines on a map here. These are roads and stuff that you're seeing here, not lines. But they all identified them as the Scythians. Now the Scythians, if you know anything about history at all, they were horrible people. These are the guys that they said they could ride a horse that, you know, full gallop and from any angle could fire an arrow. And when they defeated their enemies, they would take off their heads, they would top the top of the head off, and they would drink wine from the top of the skull of the enemies. These were bad dudes. Okay, Scythians, that's who they were. They were so bad, in fact, that you see it over there on the right side, see Sinai? Okay, anybody know what that is? It's China. Okay, do you know what that red line is there between Sinai or China and Magog? It's called the Great Wall of China. And if you look at it historically, it wasn't so that Matt Damon could come along and defend dragons from its ramparts, okay? They built it, and there's writings that say this, to keep the Scythians out. That's how bad these people were. The movie got close, because in the movie, this the dragons or these creatures or whatever the crud they are that are attacking, and there's people that got to fight these guys off. So, you know, hard telling where that story came from. But that's where all of that is coming from. So that's Sinai. But this is the region, the land, as it were, of Magog, later known as the Scythians, these really bad dudes. Okay? Now, obviously, where are we? Okay? We're in Russia. That's where we are. It'll become a little more clear here in just a second. You can see this here. So what area is the Japhethites? Where did they settle? Okay? Now, you've heard me talk about this a lot of times. The descendants of Japheth, where the ark rested, they're somewhere, we believe, in Turkey. Nobody seems to know for sure, but whatever the case may be, Japheth, the son, probably, as we understand it, the oldest of Noah. We don't know that he was the oldest. We assume so because he was named first. That his descendants got off of the ark and went initially right into this mountain range, which you can see there is the Caucasus mountain range. Okay? And then his descendants went from there and they proceeded to go all the way up north. Notice it's the Black and the Caspian Sea. And they went north and primarily shifted to the west, though some went to the east. Okay? But what we're saying is that the descendants of Noah's oldest son, Japheth, become the European nations where most of you and I in this room tonight are from. We originated, I know you've heard me say this a million times, but now you can see it. We are Caucasian because we originated from the Caucasus. That's where we came from, okay? So that's why this is important, because that Russia area there, you can see there is what's called the land of Magog. Okay, so here's what we're looking at so far from another perspective. Now, this is pulled back. So that area we were just looking at there is where Georgia, my sister-in-law lives. No, this is Georgia over in one of the southern republics of Russia. But that's where all of that stuff's going on. Notice there's two names down there we're going to look at here in a few minutes. Armenia and Azerbaijan. Ring a bell? What's happening right now? Big time. 3 weeks ago, these people are going at it again, okay? We'll talk a little bit more about that now, but notice the area where it's from. Keep it in mind, okay? So you can see here, Kazakhstan. Now, these are all what are called or referred to as the Southern Republics of Russia, okay? So if your name is Stan, this is where you come from. Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, okay? So if your name has Stan in it, this is where you get the idea. It's all the Stans. Of course, you got Afghanistan, Iran, and Pakistan there as well. But you get the idea. So this is this area. I'm just trying to sort of draw a little bit clearer picture here. So this is the area, the land of Magog. This is where Gog is the spiritual leader of this place. It's no wonder the Scythians were bad dudes, right? I mean, there's a lot more to it than just them. And then there was the other name, the other tribe that we saw there, what is Meshech. And notice that he's just north of the Caucasus region, okay? And then there was Tubal, which we saw. He falls down more in the southern parts, in parts of what we now identify as Turkey, okay? Then once again, this is Russia's southern republics, okay? What is the thing that they all have in common? Islam. They're all Islamic. I was there, help me out here, Marie, was it 95? I think we went to Kazakhstan. We were with John Michaels. We did actually play some music around there and did some ministry that way. But so we were in Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. And did some things there. And it's very, obviously very Russian, but there is clearly, especially in that area, there is clearly a huge Islamic influence that's there. Okay, now to verse 4 of Ezekiel 38. And I will turn thee about, I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws. So what God is saying here is later on we're going to see that Gog, his mind is working and he has these plans to go forward. We're going to see that. I'm not sure if I put those in the verses tonight, but in this chapter, you will see that. In the latter days, it will come into your mind to do this. God is omniscient. He knows what the dude is thinking. So when you read this, and I will turn thee about and put hooks in thy jaws, if anybody knows anything about horses, what's being described here is control. That's the whole point. God's saying, this is in your mind to do this, but here's how it's going to turn out. Because you see, God is God. So that's what's being described here. I will turn thee about. I'm going to make you go where I want you to go and put hooks in your jaws. You're going to be going where I want you to go, not where you think you're going to go. Now notice again who he's speaking to. A spiritual entity, a spiritual power behind these people groups so far that we've identified. And I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great company with buckler and shield. And people say, oh, see, that can't be speaking about today because it's talking about, you know, spears and arrows. All of these words get translated as missiles and launching mechanisms and tanks. I mean, it just does. So though God is speaking, you know, in terms that Ezekiel would understand, it's making sense for just of us. A great company with buckler and shield, all of them handling swords. Now here we go with the next group that's identified. So obviously, Magog, Meshach, and Tubal are the primary forces. They're dealt with first, and they're the ones that he is in, that Gog is the most in control of. Now verse 5, Persia, Cush, and Put. Okay, it's not put, it's put. Actually, it's P-H. It should be foot, actually, but we'll just leave it at that. Now, notice I've got colors. That's so we can identify them, okay? So Persia, Cush, and Foot. With them, all of them, with shield and helmet. And then here are more. Gomer and all his hordes. So whoever Gomer is, he's not coming alone, okay? And the house of Togarma in the uttermost parts of the north, and all his hordes, even many peoples. So beyond Gomer and beyond Togarma, there are multiple other people groups going to be engaged in this. Okay? What's the one common denominator we've identified so far? Islam. This is the way it is. Okay? So let's broaden this now, and let's see a little bit more. Back to this, we've already identified these guys, but now there was one that was identified as Persia. Now, the Persia comes from Farse, and actually, which is, by the way, which is what their language is, Farse, but that's what they were called, and then it became Persia. But they are descendants of Elam. The Elamites, if you study your Old Testament and you know anything and you see the Elamites, you're talking about the Persians. Modern day, for the most part, we don't go by lines on a map, what we're talking about is Iran. Wait a second here. He's from Shem. So Persia, Iran today, are not anti-Semitic. They're Semitic. Oh, what a surprise. Of course they are. But you see, the world will never tell you that. When you look at the news, they will tell you that all these people groups are Arabs. We've said before, if you want to get in big trouble fast in the Middle East, call an Arab a Persian or a Persian an Arab. Call an Egyptian Arab. No, no, no. We do that here. They don't do that there. Not a healthy thing to do. They keep their identity through their ancestors, their ethnos, which is exactly what Jesus said. So though the news and our goofy school system would portray the Iran as being Arab and therefore anti-Semitic, it completely ignores the truth. The Iranians are Semitic. They're related to Israel. Well, you really want to take them off, remind them of that. Okay? So that's the first nation. But then, so now we've got, then you've got Cush. Cush is obviously a son of Ham, okay? And then the other one that's named there, and there it is correctly, Phut, okay, is how you would say that. Now you've got those guys identified, okay? So now there's the African nations involved, the African people groups. Remember, all around the world, they're going to come against Israel, okay? So it's not just, you know, what we now call the Arab states. It's down into the African. Again, what's the common denominator? Islam, okay? But then it goes on, it jumps back to Japheth, and we have Gomer, okay? And then we have Togarma. Sorry, I got cut off there. Sorry about that. Togarma. So these now are all of the people groups identified in Ezekiel 38 as being the people groups that would come on Jerusalem, precisely like God said they would in Zechariah, precisely like Jesus said in Matthew 24, and what God is describing here in Ezekiel 38. And it just gets crazy, okay? So there's our Sinite, there's Sinai. That's the Chinese. The Chinese are descendants of Ham. Oh, yeah, not European. They're descendants of Ham, okay? So, and again, today, you know, people say, oh, the Bible, you know, that's got that wrong. Well, ask anybody that is, you know, that has that answer. Well, what do you call the study of China? What's the study of China called? Sinology. It's not sin, it's sign, okay? So where did that come from? Oh, I don't know, maybe the Bible? No? Oh, we don't believe in the Bible. Well, then don't call us Caucasians then. You guys are whack jobs. See? You can't have it both ways, but that's what they try to do. And of course, it's true to mislead. That's the whole point. That's how things like this happen. Even in our day, the deception and the backbiting and the flat-out lies that are told between all the countries of the world, including Israel, by the way. Not like they're innocent here. You see, and it's all just because that's what the enemy does, right? The one, you know, the adversary of our souls, the diabolic one, the devil. That's what he does, okay? He's probably the big cheese on the block, where these other guys are small time, even though they have big areas. So let's take a look at a different map now, and you can kind of see, oh, is this a different map? No, yeah, it is. Okay, so you can see there, Magog, that's the land of Magog, that's in that roughly in that same area. Actually, I should have expanded it over into Kazakhstan, but you get the idea. And then Meshech, Tubal, okay? But we've named some others. There's Persia. So that's the Elamites. This is the area that they settled in, okay? And then there was Cush. Cush, his descendants settled in the areas that we today identify as the Sudan and as Somalia, okay, primarily. Now, again, you know, I have to use lines on a map to describe so we can get at least an idea, but understand that this is bigger than that, okay, that the descendants there, it's just a way by means of identification, okay. But then we saw that there were two more descendants. Oops, I'm sorry. And then there's Phut, okay, which is modern-day Libya. And holy cow, again, there's just a ton of stuff happening with Libya. And the deal that they made, if you divide Libya in half, the western side of it to the left has made that pact here just a couple of months ago with Turkey. Block it. The other side is against Turkey. They're, in fact, trying to line up with Greece. It's just the insanity that's taken place in this part of the world is just incredible. You think it's nuts in America? Holy cow, okay? So Persia, Cush, Phut, okay? Then there's Gomer, and as best we can tell, the descendants of Gomer filtered in what the areas that we would today identify as Eastern Europe, okay? That is the primary. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, this is generalization, all right? Obviously, some of his descendants are all over the world. They're probably in America, for goodness sake, okay? But that's the idea here. Gomer, and then Togarma. Now, this is really interesting because even today, if you go to Armenia, who's having huge problems over there with Azerbaijan, if you go over there, they still call themselves Beit Togarma, the house of Togarma, to this day. They know who they came from, right? So that's the area right there, as you can see, between the Black and the Caspian Sea. So, and of course, there's many peoples with you, okay? And there's our sign, okay? That's our Sinites. That's where they're from. And of course, the common denominator, Islam. Again, I think there's starting to be a pattern here, okay? Now, this is that particular area. So there's no way to develop all this. You could see, watch all of this on the news. You could check out all of this stuff. But this is, you can see on the left is the Black Sea, a little blue spot up there, Caspian Sea to the right. This is Armenia, Togarma, and Togarma was bigger than what we now call Armenia. And of course, there's Azerbaijan. Now, this became a hotbed back at the end of World War I, but really got lit up in the 90s with the dissolution of the USSR. And that's where all of this hotbed stuff came from. So again, there's no way to get into that, but you see that Nagorno-Karabakh, that's how you say that, that is the reason for all of the conflict that is going on over there right now as we speak. It started about 2 weeks ago, and it's rapidly getting out of control. Because both Armenia and Azerbaijan are claiming that Nagorno-Karabakh belonged to them. Okay? And you have the Turks siding with Azerbaijan. You have the Russians siding with Armenia. You got the Jews who are helping both sides, trying to stay neutral. And so all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, within the last 100 years, this area is just exploding. Okay? Now, the reason that Israel is really friendly with Azerbaijan, because the line that you see where the Nagorno-Karabakh is written at, that's northern Iran. And so Israel has really good dealings with Azerbaijan, because in Azerbaijan down there is one of the ways they keep dibs on what's happening in Iran. But you see, you can't separate all of these. The very nations, the very people groups and descendants that God identified 500 years before Jesus set foot on this earth, we're seeing this come out now. It's just incredible. Does that mean we're at Ezekiel? I don't have a clue. We're just going to have to let it play out. But holy cow. I mean, you got to be going, ooh, whoa, that's getting really close. Especially when this last little shebanky came up. So that's all of the stuff that's going on. Again, I don't, you know, we just don't have the time to develop it. All the information's out there. Now, you know what? Most Americans have probably barely ever even heard of Armenia or Azerbaijan. And I could bet money they don't know anything about Nagorno-Karabakh. They just don't. Because that's, you know, come on, that's not. But everything that's happening there is directly affecting it. Because who do you have involved there? Well, you've got Magog, Russia, the Scythians, engaged directly. You've got Turkey directly engaged. And you got Iran directly engaged. The three major players of Ezekiel 38, they're all there. It's just incredible when you start looking at this. So this is the area. That's where Meshech is, okay, in that part of there. And of course, there's Tubal. And this is the area of Togarma. This is where his descendants settled, in this very area. So probably his descendants, these people, if you trace it on back, are probably traced to him. And then there was a split after him with his sons and so on and so forth. And that's how you get these places that are identified here. It's what's going on. So, I mean, we look at this stuff today, and even if we don't know, we catch wind of, oh, there's something really happening over there in Armenia and Azerbaijan. And we all look at each other and go, where the crud is that? Okay, and what's happening there? Well, what's happening there is exactly what God said would happen in Ezekiel 38. The pot is being stirred. And is being stirred by none other than Gog, And we've already seen how that's going to play out, okay? So, verse 10 now of Ezekiel 38. Thus saith the Lord Yehovah, it shall come to pass in that day that things shall come into your mind, and you shall devise an evil device. In other words, you're going to, in a specific point in time, you're going to decide that this is what you're going to do. This is the bizarre thing to me. How a spiritual being doesn't know that God knows what they're going to do. It's just hard to understand. But like most humans, we don't think that God maybe is interested in ultimately knowing things. I mean, the omniscience of God is just beyond comprehension. He knows all of these things, okay? So it's going to come to pass that things shall come into your mind, and you shall devise an evil device. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Now, clearly, it's at a point in time. We know who's being described here, Jerusalem, because it's already been pointed out a couple times and will be again later in the chapter. But it's saying that they're basically at peace. What is happening right now over there? Oh, Israel's not at peace. Really? When has Israel ever been more settled than they are now? They just made a deal with the UAE and Bahrain, for goodness sake. With Kosovo and Bosnia, was it Bosnia and Kosovo? They're getting ready, if the indications are, to go with Oman, Yemen, and the Saudis. Maybe not Yemen yet, but you see? So all of a sudden, did you see, was it today or yesterday, that big ship came in, that big cargo ship pulled into the Bay of Haifa, or the port of Haifa, I should say, in Israel? Guess where it came from? The UAE. The United Arab Emirates, for the first time in history, what, 3 weeks after the agreement is made, sent this huge cargo ship with all sorts of supplies for the first time in history. To Israel. It's the first time it's ever happened. Israel's dwelling pretty securely right now. Okay? That's this say, whoa, when this is happening, this is when Israel's like this, this is when we're gonna make our move. Well, so why is it happening? To take the spoil and to take the prey. They're not coming on Israel because of Israel, they're coming on there because of what Israel has. Again, it's the land. It's the all of the stuff that comes with the land. To turn your hand against the waste places that are now inhabited and against the people that are gathered out of the nations that have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the middle of the earth. Remember that from Ezekiel 36? At the land? Verse 13. Now here's some others, but these are not engaged with this. Notice. Doggone it. I hit the wrong button. Oh, crud. Hold on. Where was it? There it is. There we go. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. This has puzzled every... Uh-oh, I lost my thing. Okay, what is happening here? Boy, technology, huh? If somebody cuts our power lines... 1, 2, 3... Stop. With all the young lions, they shall say unto you, you're coming to do this, but whoever this group of people are, they're basically standing on the sidelines and saying, what do you guys think you're doing? Okay? Notice it doesn't sound like they're raising a hand to them, but they're questioning, so they're not engaged in whatever's taking place here. With the young lions, they're going to say to you, did you come to take the spoil? Hast thou assembled the company to take the prey? To carry away silver and gold, to take away the cattle and the goods, to take great spoil? Holy cow. Again, that couldn't have happened before World War II. So they're saying, they're standing on the sidelines and going, wait a second, you guys are doing this, and the reason you're doing this isn't Islam against Judaism or Islam against Christianity. No. They're going into the land to take the land and its resources. I mean, it's really incredible when you stop thinking and start thinking about it. So now let's go to that. There we go. So we've seen all of these groups now. So now to this, we have Sheba and Dedan. They're descendants of Ham. Now, there are those that believe, and either way, it's fine. It doesn't really matter to me. But Abraham, after Sarah dies, marries a woman named Keturah. Two of Abraham's sons are called Sheba and Dedan. So there's a great conflict among commentators and scholars as to what Sheba and Dedan are being described in the Ezekiel passage. Are they the descendants of Ham? Because clearly that's where I put them. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying because of the group that we're talking about, it seems to fit with this. Doesn't mean it's not. Or are they descendants of Abraham and therefore Semitic? So it could be either way. But whoever they are, they're not engaged in attacking. Okay? In fact, they're questioning the attack. Okay? So there's Sheba Dedan. Okay, we're going to see in a few minutes. That's down in the area that we know today as where the Saudis are. And then there's Tarshish. Okay? And then there's a mention of all of the young lions. We don't know for sure who that is, but it appears that it's all of these groups would be that we would call in the area of the UK. Okay? We could be completely wrong because we're not told. So it's anyone's guess. But it appears that because they're associated here, that that's what's being described. Okay? So now continuing back on our map, so there's Sheba and Dedan, which is in Saudi Arabia. Now notice, again, what just happened less than a month ago, there was a deal made. Well, I can't move it now, but with Bahrain and the UAE, which are covered now by my little thing here. And those are the areas. And according to Trump and according to even Israel itself, Saudi Arabia is getting ready to enter into the peace accord with Israel as well. Well, that shouldn't surprise us because they're standing on the sidelines when all this takes place. It's truly, truly amazing. Okay? Because who would have thought 6 months ago that Israel would have peace with the UAE? Are you kidding me? That is beyond anything or anyone's imagination. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody. Nobody saw Bahrain. And when Saudis come into this, and again, questionable on Yemen, possibly, and Oman, which are all the other areas, the places that are down there, because you see, this has thrown the world into a tizzy. And all of those nations that we're talking about, Iraq, Persia, Syria, all the others, Afghanistan, they are, and Turkey, they're all, and the Palestinians, they're all saying, oh, they knifed us in the back. We thought they were for the Arab cause. But all of a sudden, it's changed. That could not have happened 6 months ago. Oh, they were probably out in the works. But nobody ever would have imagined. And if you think those are big, wait till Saudi Arabia comes in. You see, something had to happen that these places are not engaged in Ezekiel 38. We just saw it. We just saw it. Couldn't have happened before. Well, could have. They might have just been afraid or, you know, Shia versus Sunni thing, who knows. But already they're sending stuff to Israel. It is absolutely staggering what is happening now. And then you put the stuff up in the north with Azerbaijan and Armenia, and it's like, whoa. I mean, it's like it's coming fast and furious. All of this stuff that, you know, anybody that has studied this for years has gone, how is this going to play out? Boom. It's just incredible. Okay? So Sheba Dedan, Tarshish, we think it's from up in this area, up in here. Again, the Spanish somewhere around there. There's some references to valuable iron, tin, in particular, coming from that area. And that area is known for that. And again, assuming we're right because we don't know. The young lions. Now, the reason Sheba and Dedan and Tarshish are yellow is because they're at peace. The young lions, once again, are also descendants of Japheth. Okay, so that's why we put them in the red. So here's what a map looks like. You know, if you're looking at a topographical map, this is kind of what it looks like. And notice they're all converging on Israel. Now, this shouldn't surprise us. They've been saying this for decades. We're going to push Israel into the sea. We're going to annihilate the great Satan, America, right? The ally of Israel. And we are going to get rid of the little Satan, Israel. What do you see happening here? It's just incredible when you start to think about this, okay? Notice in our study who was not listed in Ezekiel 38. Huh, there was nothing about Iraq. They would have been Babylon, okay? Nothing about Syria and Jordan. Syria would have been Ashur, the descendants of Ashur. Jordan would have been the descendants of Edom, right? Or Esau, okay? Egypt wasn't mentioned. Mitzrayim, from the biblical perspective. None of those nations are in. And who is sort of standing on the side right now? Jordan, because of this mess that's going on there with Hezbollah. And, of course, Lebanon is up there by, you know, just north and south, east. Yeah, north and west, sorry, of Syria. They're all now, I don't know if you guys saw it again, they're all starting to talk to Israel because what Hezbollah and what Islamic Jihad, and, you know, we could go on and on. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is primarily out of Egypt, all of this stuff is just engaging. I mean, it's just incredible what we're seeing. But this is the hotbed of the entire world right here. It's the center. Exactly what God said would be. And we're watching this stuff take place. Again, are we seeing it? I don't know. There's no way. They could all say, you know, let's just go home and smoke peace pipes. For all any of us know, we just don't know. But based on what God's word says, if you look at this and you look at this, you go, wow, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? So that's all that we could say. Is this for fulfillment of prophecy? Don't have a clue, and neither does anyone else. But it sure is making your eyeballs go wide, making your socks roll up and down, right? Verse 14 now, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord Yehovah, in that day when my people Israel dwell securely, won't you know it? And you shall come from thy place out of the uttermost parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding horses, a great company. Okay, he's repeating what he said before. I'm thinking, am I showing the same verse? Verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall come to pass in the latter days, in that day. Okay? That I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified or made holy in their eyes. When this confederation, whatever you want to call it, comes down on Israel, God said, I will put a stop to it, and the entire world is going to recognize. Doesn't say they're going to receive him, but they're going to recognize that there is no power on earth that could have stopped this. It just isn't. And then God says, the nations will know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Next week, when we conclude, we're going to look at chapter 39. And if you have any military background, we're going to look at some interesting modern military stuff that I learned and was partially trained on concerning nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. It's right there in Ezekiel 39. 2,500 years before that military manual was written. It's incredible. Wait till you see it. It'll be awesome. Now, verse 21, and I will call for a sword against him unto all my mountains. Back to chapter 36, saith the Lord Yehovah, and every man's sword shall be against his brother. So God, it sounds like, do we know, he's going to make them turn against each other. Well, how could that be? I thought they were Confederate. Do you really think for one second that Turkey likes Iran? Or that Turkey and Iran like Russia? Or that Russia likes either Turkey or Iran? Oh, they're talking to each other, of course, but for their own mutual beneficial purposes to gain access. Do you also know, are you aware of all of the ones here, because those are the three primaries, that Russia under Putin wants to return to the days of the czars? Russia was Mother Russia, and to get it all back. Huh, so he wants an empire back. Imagine that. What does Turkey want? What is Erdogan looking for? To restore the Ottoman Empire. Did you know, did you see that just last week, the man was on video and quoted that Jerusalem does not belong to the Jews, it belongs to Turkey. Like, dude, whose wall is there? Turkey is not, but you see, the Ottoman Empire controlled it. He thinks that it's going back there. This guy is saying on a continuous, repeated thing, I will restore the caliphate, the Ottoman Empire, and I will be caliph. The man is saying this, you guys. We're not making this up. So now you got the caliph of Turkey who's going to allow the Russian Tsar to control things, or the Russian Tsar that's going to allow the Ottoman Caliph to control? Really? But that leaves out who? Iran. What do the leaders in Iran, what are they looking for? To reestablish the Persian Empire. Once again, we have empires trying to get control over there. And though they're working together, they are not friends in any way. Why do you think the saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend? Do you know that's where it comes from? It's the Middle East. People are doing this stuff, but they're out for their own interests. Each of them wants to return to the empire that it controlled. Gee, where did we have that? And what's the final control of the world going to be? An empire ruled by one, quote-unquote, Antichrist. And with pestilence and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him. With Gog, he's still speaking to Gog. And I will rain upon him and upon his hordes and upon the many peoples that are with him, an overflowing shower and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Oh, it's a nuclear attack. Nuclear will definitely be a part of it. Wait till we get to 39. But that's not what he's describing here. There were no nuclear weapons with Sodom and Gomorrah, you guys. This is exactly what he did to them. And what was their problem? Trying to embrace the supernatural again. And I will magnify myself and set myself aside. Everybody's going to know who I am then. I am not Allah. I am not this God or that God. I am God. Okay? And I will make myself known in the eyes of many nations, many peoples, many people groups, the descendants of Noah's sons. And they shall know that I am Yehovah, Savior. Boom. Ezekiel 38. So there's much happening here, and we need to be alert to it. Whether this is the fulfillment remains to be seen. But holy cow. Again, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, probably a duck, okay? Well, I just don't believe, your problem's not with me, it's with the scripture. You see, it's incredible when you look at this stuff, because this is happening now. This Azerbaijan-Armenia thing is incredible. And even more than that, Israel with the UAE, I mean, it's just incomprehensible. It's just, how can this be? But it is. So hopefully you're getting an idea now. We're going to conclude. We're going to see that it's not going to turn out so well for these guys, because God will be glorified. Things are going to be bad. And that's what chapter 39 is all about. the aftermath of this futile attempt that appears to be playing out before us. Amen? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And just, again, doesn't matter anybody's opinion. This is what it says. This is what we see. It's just incredible. We know, Lord, our trust is in you. And in your return, the rest is all irrelevant, because all of this is nothing more than previews to the thing that we want more than anything else. That is your return to this earth. Everything else pales in comparison. It's just stuff. But the return of our King, that's what we long for. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. God